Bettingtips.com for details. Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. Free $25 Derby bet and $200 deposit match with promo STEAM25. Visit NairaBets.com.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Horsemen, nominate now for the $400,000 Grade II Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Elks. Both races will be run Friday, June 3rd, each at 1 mile on the grass at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Nominations close Wednesday, May 18th. Contact the Penn National Racing Office at 1-800-233-8238. That's 1-800-233-8238. Or go to hollywoodpnrc.com/racing.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, couple minutes in, and Andy Serling standing by. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. You know, you fixed the volume coming too low to me. Now it's actually louder. I can turn it down. So you finally did something. I just want to thank you for that.
I don't do anything. It's Casey. We've had.
We understand Hal and Joe, Steve. That's clear. We know it's clear.
Well, what's funny, I'm glad you said that. I got an email yesterday from a guy who's got to be the biggest piece of shit in America.
Yeah, it's a very long list. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You'll take the over? We had that power outage in February that absolutely devastated every piece.
It was awesome.
That's right. It devastated every piece of equipment that Casey had in the studio. I mean, that means mixer, computers. We've got a box that streams. We've got a box that ties us to Sirius. He's got literally thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And he has had to trace one thing after another, rebuilding. Then in Mittendrinnen, he's getting ready to move the studios, so he had to, you know, kind of reassemble it for a period until he moves into the new space. So this has been a real problem. But if what he just did yesterday fixed the thing with your audio, that's a bonus. We weren't even trying to do that.
Well, it is better, so there's that. That's good.
I love it. I love it.
It is better, so that's good. I lost my train of thought. I'm reading.
Well, don't worry about it. I've got something for you. And you're gonna think I'm making this up. Somebody asked me yesterday, "Is Andy coming to Preakness this year?" I kid you not.
Who asked?
Hey, just somebody. I don't even really know who it is. Somebody up here in the press box that was up here yesterday. He said, "Is Andy coming down this year?" Because he knows that it's been a regular.
Did he have a weapon?
Yes, it was up on the roof, and he was working on his on the rifle sight. Yeah.
You know the second choice for Saturday's Irish Guineas is named Buckaroo. Buckaroo was a pretty good green tree horse back in the 70s.
I've seen the PPs. I've seen or
Joseph
I've seen,
O'Brien.
Sure.
Yeah. Buckaroo wasn't great, but he was pretty good. Pretty good.
You know what's funny? That made me think of something else. You know that when I'm here, I get access to all these crazy pictures from Preakness history and from Pimlico and Maryland racing history. And yesterday I came across a picture of Hap, and I sent it to Jerry Bailey, who sent me back a note. He was like, "Oh my God." He said, "Where did you get this?"
He won the stake, whatever it used to be. Now it's the dinner party. Did he win that there?
Yes, the old Dixie.
Dixie, right.
Yeah. It was a nice, that's one of my horses, Andy, my horses that time forgot. He was a good horse.
Well, that was Paulson. Paulson had a lot of good horses. I really thought Jerry, when Jerry was wanting, as Cigar's career was winding down a bit, and he did win the Oakland Handicap, I believe. I don't think he might have won. Did he win with the Woodbine Mile now? I think he did, right?
G-E-R-I, Jerry, you mean?
Yeah. He might have, believe it or not, he might have been favored in the Breeders' Cup Mile, the turf race.
Jerry did win the Woodbine Mile in 1997. Look at you.
I think he followed that up, I want to say, possibly ran the Meadowlands Cup in his next start or something.
No, actually, he ran, he did run in the Breeders' Cup Mile.
I'm not sure. Was he favored,
I'll tell you right away. He was second choice behind the winner, Spinning World. Third choice.
Oh. That was here.
No, the Hollywood, the one in 87. 97.
Oh, okay, Spinning World, right. Okay, right, there you go. Oh, and I'm looking at it now. He won the citation to close out his career.
He's
been a second. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he did. It's funny. I don't remember. I don't have as vivid a memory of Jerry as I do of Hap. I don't know why.
Jerry arrived at the scene at Gulfstream. He was running California first, but he was at Gulfstream '96 when I was there, and he won three races there. And then he went and won the Oakland Handicap. Then he lost the Penn Special.
I I'm going to maintain, and Jerry was certainly a good one to bring up. But for those that don't remember, maybe it's because this is about the time I started coming to Saratoga. You know, I actually had already moved to Greenwich. But he won the Bernard Baruch, the 4-star Dave. Then he came back the next Hap. He won both of those that summer of 2000. Then the next year he wins the Dixie. He wins the New Hampshire Sweepstakes at the Rock. He comes back and wins another Bernard Baruch. He won the Shadwell Turf that fall. I mean, he was a good horse. I remember being a fan of his, much more so than I was of Cigar. I was not a Cigar fan. Yeah.
A good horse. Second of the Million, you know, the Baruch was a very good race back then, too. It was a really strong race. I mean, the 1994 running was Lure's last win. He beat Paradise Creek and 4-star Dave. Do you know that?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was talk of the Baruch could even be a grade one for a little while, and now it's obviously, you know, changed dramatically in the landscape. But, yeah, it was a super... It was really a premier turf race.
Here's a trivia question.
I'm not even sure the Sword Dancer moved to Saratoga yet. It's close, right? But I know when Dance of Life was disqualified, the Sword Dancer, and Theatrical was placed first, I think with the Sword Dancer, it was at Belmont. So that would have been...
Wow.
That would have been 87. Yeah.
There's a trivia question that has popped up out of this, looking at Hap's career. Before the Mervyn Muniz became the Mervyn Muniz, what was it? I mean, and I wouldn't have known this, and you know, this is for Fairgrounds fans.
Seeing the name, I knew it was. I wouldn't have been able to guess it. So I'm looking at the same page you are. I was close to a bit. Yeah, I remember that it was, but I wouldn't have got it if I had.
Wow, I would not have. The explosive bid handicap is what the Muniz was before it was renamed in honor of the great.
Where do you think they'll run the Steve Bick? I mean, I'm trying to think. You're big in so many places that it's really hard to sort of determine which, because it's probably a fight among race packs for the name, you know. You think there'll be like an East Coast and like a Midwest one?
You know what they could do? They could run it simultaneously at like 6 different tracks. How about that?
That
on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea. I'm sure the race will get together on that because we're not going to be the
club. It'll be the thing that brings racing together.
You'll bring us together in your death.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, you either have to come up with some Preakness story, or we're going to talk about the other day at Belmont.
A Preakness story?
Because you've come down here for a long time. I remember years ago.
I'm not sure after Animal Kingdom. No, I think I was there when I have another one. I think I was, but I'm not even sure. To be honest, I can't remember. I know I was there in the Animal Kingdom one, you know, against Shackleford. I remember talking to Dale at the barn afterwards. Was I another 12? I might have been there in 12, but I'm not even sure. I was there in 17, but I'm not, it's funny, I don't really have a great memory. I wonder when I first started going. I know I was there with Boo Pegloss.
In 2000.
I know I was there for that. Get seats from a friend of mine. That's when I started going. But I'm trying to find winners, you know?
Well, because I remember when, I started coming, very curiously, the Preakness was the first Triple Crown race that I ever saw, and I saw a bunch of them.
Not the Belmont?
Not the Belmont, because my buddy Phil, he and his buddies from First Jersey Securities, they were living in D.C., and they started to organize a Preakness party. They were living in Alexandria, and so we would all meet there in the morning, have like a fun breakfast, and then get on a bus and come up here. And I must have done that, you know, seven times, I'd guess, before Phil and I then started going to Belmont's. And so I was there
87 for Ali Sheba.
Oh, I just played Ali Sheba. The anniversary was yesterday.
Yeah, it was that, and then I started going in 2000. I think I went in 2000, 2001, 2. For some reason, I don't think I went in 3. I don't think I was there when Funny Side won, for some reason. I was there in 4, for sure. I was there in 5. I was there in 6. I was there in 7. I was not there for Big Brown. I was there for Rachel Alexandra. I was there for Looking at Lucky. I bet First Dude. I made a bunch of money exactly in a second. There for Shackleford. And I can't remember if I was there for Oxbow.
There's a picture of you and I on the grass where they're saddling. And it's right in that, it's right in that era, in 80, and 12,
I can't remember 13. If I was there for Oxbow. I don't think I was there for Chrome. I was definitely not there for Pharaoh. It was Pouring Rain. I wasn't there for Exaggerated. I was there for Cloud, but I haven't been there since Cloud 1.
Well, then
I haven't been there since Cloud 1 in 17.
Well, you may be the charm for early voting.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. Of course, he's going to lose because of his protection. Right, well, it's a very quiet handicapping angle. It's not used that much. It matters who's there for the race.
Today happens to be, because I love doing this, 97 was a May 17th, Silver Charm, Freehouse, Captain Bodgett, Touch Gold.
They were good horses. That was Captain Bodgett's last race, right?
I think you're right. That's right.
Touch Gold should have won. He had to stumble to start.
Exactly.
Probably would have won that race. He was a good horse. I love Silver Charm. I really love Silver Charm. He was my favorite Baffert horse. And he's a lot closer to being the best one than a lot of people realize. And I'm not saying he was definitely the best one. Has had a lot of terrific horses, but he has such a good career. I love that horse. He was a really cool horse.
I watched the race on YouTube this morning, and when they hit the wire, the cameras cut up to Baffert and Bob Lewis. And you can tell, Bob Lewis is sure that they won, and you can tell that Bob's not so sure that whatever angle, you know, those seats, that there's that owner section, and the wire is past you. And so it's a little deceptive. And you can see Baffert's not convinced that Freehouse didn't hold on.
They were both close to those races.
Captain Bodgett was flying at him, too. Captain Bodgett was coming.
Oh, he was a very good horse. He had that suspensory issue and just finally blew up on him, right? Freehouse was a tremendous horse. Those are really, really good horses. That was a very good Triple Crown series.
Yeah.
Really strong group of horses. Who was Touch Gold in entry with? Was he in entry with somebody in the Belmont?
Well, if John Parada is listening, John, you have to let us know.
I get to spring the chart up.
There you go. There you go.
The 97, right?
Yes. For those that missed it earlier, this is May 17th was a day Cal Chrome won his. Big Brown, Funny Side, Silver Charm, Snow Chief. This is the anniversary too, the 42nd of Codex and Genuine Risk, which of course set off a
amazing thing. That was Lucas's first win. Lucas's wins in the Preakness span 34 runnings, 80 and 13, and theoretically could now span 43 runnings in 42 years.
Wouldn't it be incredible?
And you ask your buddy Jerry Brown, is he a cinch, according to Jerry?
She's competitive. She's competitive on Thoroughgraph, that's for sure.
He loves it. He loves her. I'm not sold.
Hmm.
I don't know.
This was all.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting. I think it's an interesting group, and especially the way the draw came up and Epicenter. You got to figure Rosario's going to keep close tabs, right? He's going to he's going to start.
He was an actually Wild Rush special.
Oh, how about that?
Later that year or the next year was Met Dead Heat at Turfway with the Silver Charm. Yeah, I was. Were you surprised they made early voting the second choice?
No. I think for Keith Fustel, you know, probably feeling
the. Will be second choice. I'm not.
It's gonna be close. It'll be close.
Yeah, I was surprised. I just thought they would buy for second. I mean, I thought they would be very close together. Epicenter should be an overwhelming favorite. I don't disagree with him. His way to horse to beat, right?
Yes, of course.
He asked me some second Preakness, right?
With
he didn't win it besides Curlin, did he?
Rachel Alexandra.
Oh, jeez. Well, it was the first time he trained him, so I'm going to give myself a pass for that.
All right, so you can look at all right. So you can say Hal Wiggins. He did it off of Hal Wiggins' training.
Steve Wiggins. Well. Yeah, he would probably say that. She was incredible. She was truly incredible. That's a win that's underappreciated, her win there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I watched that the other day, too. Mind That Bird is coming at her, and she's got to fend him off.
She dueled with Big Drama. Won the Breeders' Cup Sprint the next year.
Yeah.
With some horse. What a year. You'll never see a horse have a year like that. Ever again.
No. Nope.
Philly? Never happened.
No. I came up with Asmussen this week.
I always remember what Tim Ice said to me. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to quote him verbatim. When he had Summer Bird after he won the Traverse. And he said, he probably needed the race in the Haskell. And he said, I wasn't going to beat her anyway. like he just sort of said it. And Summer Bird was a really good horse. Really good horse. But he just sort of said it like it wasn't even a discussion to be had. I was never going to beat her. I think he said to me, I was never going to beat that monster. You know what? Here's a question for you. Was Summerbird second or third? I'm going to look it up. But
in the Haskell?
You know who was in a try, I believe, in that Haskell? And what's interesting about this horse is he's a sprinter, and he didn't really like the mud. It seemed to rain a lot in the big race he was in. He is now a very good sire. And his sire was a very good three-year-old, as a matter of fact.
So,
I'm almost sure. You want me to tell you, or do you want to guess? What was that? 2009? Munnings.
Yeah,
I believe
Munnings
is second or third in the Haskell.
Oh wow!
Yeah, isn't that wild?
I would not have remembered that. I did not go to the Haskell that year. I remember being at Saratoga and watching it on television. It was a messy
weather,
day.
Right?
Terrible.
It was miserable weather.
Terrible.
Terrible day.
It was a sea of slop.
It was weird. Could it have been as late as the 8th? They ran on a Sunday. That's why I can't find it. It's always the
7th. Yeah, they always did. There was a long period.
Yeah, like it for a while. Yeah. It just took me a minute. Yeah.
That may have been.
Second and Munnings was third.
Was that a running of the Vonage Preakness? Or Haskell? Vonage, remember, advertised there.
The cigarette?
No, the telephone. The telephone discount service. they averaged, there was a year or two where they were the sponsor of, it's so funny when you look up certain stakes and you know, there's some obscurity, like, you know, the Dristan Haskell.
Oh, there are some funny sponsors. You go through the years of races, no question about it. I mean, I guess arguably the first one is the Marlboro Cup, right?
The Marlboro Cup is the first thing I was just thinking about.
The free programs, which I have somewhere, some of them, and they probably got ruined in a flood. And they also give out free, like, complimentary packs of three cigarettes. You got to
Well,
that,
don't you? You do.
As long as you were over 10, get them.
If you were under 10, they got you those candy cigarettes.
No, you can still get them. They had to speak them to you. No, I don't know if they gave those out to the public. I have a memory of being in the press box. I want to say with John Preachy, and they had them as giveaway things, promotional giveaways. I know one of those, the 77 one, I remember I was up in the press box. Probably the first time I was in the press box at Belmont with John Preachy.
That's great.
That was very
That whole era, I mean, anything sponsored by tobacco companies. When I was working at Procter and working in Charlotte, you know, the Winston Cup Racing. I mean, there's the perfect complement to the Marlboro Cup. I mean, Winston Cup Racing, and that's all long gone.
Well, it's not long before a lot of the stuff with, you know, cigarettes and cancer and different stuff, right? When did all those hearings start and all those things? How many years did you smoke?
Well, I smoked from the time I was about 15 years, 26 to 40-something.
I think I quit after 20,
maybe I was 28.
You were somewhat of an impetus for me to quit. So was Dan Sober.
Well,
Dan Sober asked about every day. No, it was good. Good people. Good harass people to get them to quit smoking. And they got ridiculously expensive. It's a terrible habit. I loved it, but it's a terrible habit.
Me too. I loved it. I don't miss it. I don't miss it either. In fact, Tina came. You know, it's funny. It came up when Tina and I were driving from Florida to Louisville after our vacation thing, and she said, "Do you ever miss smoking?" And I said, "You know, it's funny driving like this, a long drive." I said, "That's when I think about it." But very rare.
When you say that. I quit for a while, and I drove to Lexington. Sometime 2002-ish, somewhere in there, I drove there to go to Keeneland for a week, and I started smoking in the car, and that's when I started again.
Wow.
But I quit in 11. It's been 11 years. So we should talk about Saturday's races at Belmont, if you'd like.
Please. I did talk. I had Trevor McCarthy. Papo is in about, we're fine, about 15 minutes. I had Trevor McCarthy on, and delighted for him to win his first Grade One, and that horse really ran, Andy.
Yeah, I'm also very happy for Trevor. I think Trevor's terrific. That horse had credentials. Now, I understand that, you know, the favorite got left, and the pace was tepid. That horse should not have been 18 or 19 to 1, and I said this on the air, so it's not like I'm redboarding it. I didn't think it would win, but I probably could find a text in my phone about that horse because I bet him in his last race. Either I talked to Trevor or we were texting about it, and he said, that horse will win next time when they stretch him out. I don't think he thought he was running the Man of War against Javier and Gouffeau, but... well, I mean, it's good racing. That horse had some good races in Europe. I mean, his form had tailed a little bit, but... Graham is terrific with European shippers. He's had a lot of success with horses coming over. And I think, you know, he should not have been a bigger price than the other motion horse. Because the other motion horse, except for one race a mile and a quarter, is primarily a miler. And the other motion horse might have looked better off his last race at Aqueduct, but he got an exceptional ride in his last start. Whereas this horse had trouble in that race. And I thought he was the more likely by a lot. But that was nice. Yeah, that was nice for Trevor and Graham. First Grade One win. Won't be his last.
No, not to say the least. Well, you know what? I don't know if you folded this in, but he brought something up that was really kind of sweet. He said that it meant a lot to his father. His father won probably 15 graded stakes, but he didn't win a grade one. And so he said it was important to the family, and it felt like it was something that, you know, we closed out something that was important to both him and his dad.
Well, I imagine over the coming years that Trevor will do a lot of things that hadn't been achieved before. He's a terrific rider, and he's a very thoughtful rider. So, it's a tough colony. I think the adjustment for him is going to be that he's not going to be riding a lot of really short-priced horses in big races. I mean, just not. It's very hard when you've got the Ortiz brothers and Joel Rosario and Flavio Pratt and Luis Saez. And I'm leaving somebody out, I'm sure, or some others out, and then you've got Manny and, and Dylan Davis and Kenner Carmouche, you've got an incredibly strong colony. And John Velasquez, probably leaving out top rider, I'm just completely forgetting, Lobby or still here. But I mean, it's just a very tough colony to compete at this point.
If you want to skip, we'll come back to Bella Sofia. That was a terrific race, and I told Mig that it hasn't gotten nearly as much attention probably as it deserves. Actually, let's talk about the two sprints.
Well, we ran it.
Go ahead.
Third race.
Yeah.
No, she ran super. I thought she was going to lose. I thought Frank Rocket would beat her, and I think Frank Rocket doesn't have the same kind of will to win that she once had. Got a very, very good trip in that race. A very good ride by Pratt. Bella Sofia, Rudy's numbers off layoffs are not great. She's obviously different than a lot of horses she brings back off layoffs. Got 100 buyer. She's okay. They mentioned that she might be honorable this and ballerina for her next two starts. We'll see.
How about Drafted's win? I thought a case could be made that Jose Ortiz kind of knows where to place him a little bit more. His two best efforts.
I don't know about that.
He kept him a little closer.
Not really. I think Jose had a great deal of confidence in him. It was different than the last time Jose rode him. The last time Jose rode him, you could see in the backstretch that he just couldn't hold him any longer. He made a much, much earlier move. He put that race away at 5/16 of quarter pole. That race was over near the top of the stretch. This was different. But I felt that Jose seemed like had a lot of confidence that he'd make that run. But I think he just wanted to stay around angle out. It's a small field. And it's not hard to have that confidence that the speed that was in front. Second, horse finish second.
Chateau.
He's like his own rabbit. No lead has ever stayed since we got that. He's fast and he's good, but he stops. And he's had a lot of big leads in races and gotten beat. And I like Travis. I can't believe they ate 60 in that field. I loved him there.
Agreed. I thought he was absolutely the horse to.
He's been an unlucky. It's one thing that he is a victim of circumstance, but he's been in some immensely paced sprints. He never gets in sprints that many pace. The thing is,
speaking
the sprint division, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because I want you to talk about We the People and Rogier, but in the middle of the card, I do want to mention something. In the middle of the card, you just mentioned the 860 Mutual on Drafted, which was liberal, actually. How about 9-1 on Happy Hill Lil in the fourth
race?
We're not discussing.
She was 8-1, and we're not discussing New York Red Allowance winners when we have other stakes. Just because your friend Gary's young.
All right. No, but 9-1 was a nice price.
Much as I like her and better, but yes, she was.
I hear you. All right. The one that got away from me.
Saturday, he said, we took some big stakes, but how about that win for Happy Hill Lil? You were the only one.
This was a really fun betting card, and my point is there were horses like Finest Work that paid $18, and you had that price. How about Listen to Your Heart paid $16.60, Angel Palm $13.20.
Thirty or forty. he should have paid 30 or 40. He was one of the greatest underlays in the history of racing. And if you look at the pools without with CAW money, he was a $25 to $30 horse. And, you know, when Gary texted me after the race, and he said, how did this horse just win at 7-1? I said to him, my feelings exactly. So please, don't try to pretend that horse was a good payoff at 7-1 in there. Because he wasn't.
My point is,
one race that made him under 10-1, maybe. And the rest of them made him.
Listen,
he hadn't run in a year.
I didn't like him either. I didn't like him either. That's not the point.
Because if you like that horse and only got $16, you probably are mad. I don't know who could look at that horse and think, that's just him, the one shot I want to bet. How did he compare and spend chances relative to Happy Hill Lil? Or how about on Sunday when that might make a horse say $18? Now, he's half the price in CAW pool, but still. So, you know, somebody betting that
it's
pool,
relative.
And they were right. But he was a massive.
All right. Well, then talk about the Flavien Pratt triple. We the People, Rogier, and Finest Work.
Who was Finest Work?
That was the nightcap that finished things.
Well, that's a race we need to talk about. But I mean, as far as We the People, he was terrific, and he got a 103 buyer. It ties the high buyer for this crop with Taba's, I think, his debut. And he had credentials going in, and, you know, he rushed in the Arkansas Derby, and he got that ridiculous trip, so it was legitimately a race to throw out. The problem is, when you run races on a wet sealed track, I know it was good and sealed, but it was closer to sloppy, relatively close, sort of weird, but it was whatever, it had moisture and seal. Horses will run, you know, when they win by, you know, if five of them hit the wire, three of them hit the wire relatively close, and they got a 98 or something, in a way, I'd have been more impressed than this win, because this win does have the earmarks of an exaggerated performance on a wet track. The figure's accurate. The performance may be unreliable because it's somewhat based on the way the racetrack was playing, the fact that he got loose in the lead. And I don't mean that in any way as a criticism, and as of now, I don't see why anybody would not consider him a Belmont contender. You know, this is not a crop that's showing itself to be that strong. I think there are horses in here that are pretty good, and with time, they'll improve. But that's a big number, and I don't see any reason he couldn't win the race, but the reason I use that Freedom Child, the West Point horse, was to say, you know, this horse ran a huge figure, won by 13 lengths, near the sloppy sealed track, and got a lot of attention by the Belmont. He ran 13. Just be careful, you know. And I'm not saying I don't consider him a contender, but it was a tremendous performance, no doubt about it, but those performances need to be duplicated on dry tracks. And the Belmont may have the greatest race because maybe he doesn't want a mile and a half, as it turns out. Or maybe he does. But he absolutely has a right at this point to be a player heading into the races like the Haskell and Travers, you know? So if he was my horse, I'd be very excited. But I think you have to temper the general enthusiasm because of the racing service and his trip in winning the race. Horses loose in the lead, controlling up front, and fairly moderate fractions in the past have set some crazy figures. Rock and Roll ran at 119 at Belmont once. 121 or something crazy. Speaking of Alan Paulson. But I mean, he was good. He could be okay.
And we talked to Rudy Brissett yesterday, and they're excited. He was. I thought his other horse after the bad start.
It's hard to judge. I think anybody ran particularly well besides the winner. As far as Rogier, I mean, she's obviously in a completely different class. Of course, she ran against. I give Pratt a lot of credit, though. I mean, Pratt clearly understood that I can't be complacent on her and get myself locked in. I'm the hunted here, and breaking from the rail, he got her out into the clear and relatively close to a moderate pace pretty fast. And, you know, his obvious ride was saying, I'm on much the best horse. This horse is only going to lose if I make a mistake. And he didn't allow himself to make a mistake. And all too often, sometimes a horse like that get overconfidently ridden, and not saying they lose a lot, but sometimes they lose races they shouldn't lose. And I thought Pratt did an excellent job of making sure that horse won a race that she couldn't lose, you know, without bad racing luck perhaps being his fault. But he did the opposite. He made somewhat aggressive. He came out of the gate going forward and getting that good position. Because she should have been last earlier.
Yeah, you could see. He was just loping along, and when he said go,
well,
he
said, if you lost that race, it wasn't going to be because of him.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I do expect they're going to stretch her out into the now grade one New York the day before the Belmont. And why not? She'll probably be the favorite. But, you know, Brandt will have, Chad, so there's three pointings of one, you thought two of the three. I think Leaker Street being the other one, and potentially the one that Trevor wrote, the one the Sheepshead Bay, Virginia Joy.
Yes.
But
what is
Peter Brandt, those three horses. Got Speak of the Devil. He's got
it's crazy.
The best of all of them at this point. Regal Glory.
Yep.
I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, they paid a lot of money, he and Michael Tabor, for Rougier, like $3 million, but I don't know what the number is, but she already had, you know, people say she you know, I read some article that said, oh, you shouldn't come close to, you know, making back the $3 million they spent. She's probably worth $2 million as a brood now.
Yeah.
Maybe even more. So I'm not sure how big a premium they ultimately paid. I mean, she won the Freedle Opera. She wins a couple grade ones over here. She might be worth more than $3 million. They sell her as a broodmare, you know? And I don't think actually they did not buy her to sell her as a broodmare. They bought her to race her and then breed her. One thing about Peter Brandt, he likes to race his horses. He enjoys racing. And that's good for us. It's the fans.
Very much. What do you think? What do you do with La Mista at this point?
Well, she didn't get a very good ride, and she probably was second best, but I don't really think she's that good. I guess Chad has to figure out where she goes. I mean, you know, is she in the grouping with an Italian? Is she, you know, she pointing for races like the Boston Spa? Do you look to run her at Monmouth? You know, do you look at some races? She is okay, but the reality of her is that she never ran back to that U.S. debut. When she went very, very well, you know, a slow pace
right.
Being set by Arvin's Will Goyle, who also never went on with it, but that was a good race. But after that, her third in Arvin's was okay. Her Diana was a disaster, so I don't know what to do with her. But she probably should have been second in the year. Too complacent a ride.
Mrs. Weber's horse was game to hold second there.
But you got Gary and Charlotte at the same. You're working it. At 11:45, I should be absolved for the rest of my responsibility. I feel I've done my best.
So great. Andy, serving everybody.
Are you going to let it go?
I'm big on scotch broth. I'm not.
I always like the tomato, you know, you mix a little milk in with it. My mom used
yes.
to make that.
Very yeah, well.
Steve, it's been great fun. I look forward to doing it every week for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
When
right.
When is the 20th anniversary of Steve Bick joining the show, by the way? Closer, right?
It will be November of 25. November of 25.
Oh, that's going to be an incredible day. I just Mark hope your... I can meet soon in the big week. You know, the big week of celebration.
Mark your calendars.
It'll probably only be like 12 years from getting an Eclipse Award by then.
I'll be closing in.
Yeah. Well, you're a grinder. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Andy Serling. Oh, my God. He's so great. You are treated, of course, to these visits. When he's in that mood, it can't be beat. I am treated to that, I don't know, sometimes twice a day. he's so funny. I mean, you hear me, you know, not just praise Andy's, not just praise his, you know, his understanding of the game and his presentation of it and his willingness to teach everybody that, you know, is can be polite about asking. He is one of the funniest people on a going basis that I know. I mean, I've known him since he argues this point. I say I've known him since the late 80s. He says it was mid or late 90s, but I just didn't make an impression on him in the 80s. But he just He makes me laugh. I'm trying to think of who else. Everybody has people in their life who are just naturally funny. You know, that you talk to and you talk to regularly, and they just make you laugh. Tina, I'll get off the phone, and Tina says, "What were you laughing about?" And I can't even remember what it was. But the acerbic and sardonic and every other humor modifier you can think of. He's just the absolute best. We'll get Case. Let's get Papo in to close out the morning. Hopefully he's available because I never was able to establish a Monmouth contact for the day. So we will save the Monmouth discussion. We will, of course, start to handicap seriously tomorrow. Dick can't join us tomorrow during the Happy Valley Hour. So we'll catch up with Dick later in the week, either Thursday or Friday. Thursday, I mentioned we do have the Alibi Breakfast. So expect the Alan Foreman visit. Expect that Thursday. And thank you. Alex Barkoff says, don't forget sarcastic. The point well taken. Good. And I bet you Alex knew that the Muniz was the explosive bid. I guarantee you he knew. And so did Chad Schexnader. And so did Frank McGoey. You know, I haven't gotten the update from McGoey. When I say update, I got the we know about the seven-figure score on Derby Day. I heard about another Derby score that you need to know about. I think he's going to get mad if I say it. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to risk it. Rusty Arnold scored out on Derby Day. And are you ready for this? You're thinking, oh, he must have wheeled. No, he didn't wheel anything. He boxed six horses. A six-horse tri-box. How about that? And he included Rich Strike as a potential full-fledged winner. Not a toss-in for exotics. He used Zandon. Obviously, he used Zandon and Epicenter. But his other three horses were the Japanese horse. He absolutely used Crown Pride. He used, I think, Messier and Taba. That's what it was. He used the two Californias, the Japanese, the two favorites, and Rich Strike. He said the reason he included Rich Strike was because of the win at Churchill. He said when a horse wins like that at Churchill, you got to take notice. He says because if they romp and it looks like an aberration, it means that they got over that surface. And it I've talked about this before. Andy would argue with me, and I think Papo is with us. Dirt surfaces and every surface, horses get over certain surfaces because of their conformation, and on dirt, a horse's hoof slides before it then breaks over, as they say. And when they come to Churchill, there's a higher clay content, and they hit differently than they do on some other dirt surfaces. And that's why, you know, deep and powdery and coarse and loose, that's why all these different surfaces, dirt is not dirt. I mean, the horses don't run over surfaces interchangeably. Some, it might not matter to some. But as I've explained 1,000 times in 15 years, horses' greatest fear is falling. So that a mountain lion can jump on them and eat them and kill them. If they're comfortable on a surface, they will run with abandon. when they are uncomfortable on a surface, they run tentatively. And that's enough to be a difference between horses that win and horses that don't. And that's why when they go from venue to venue. So when Rusty said that to me, it really resonated. He said, I saw that win at Churchill. I said, I got to put this horse in. And there you go. Rusty Arnold, handicapping and wagering God among the trainer set. So those of you that wonder, are they good handicappers? Some are, some aren't. Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
We've got, we could do a couple different recappings. What'd you do over the weekend?
This past weekend, yeah, a couple of good plays from Opinion from Form to Win. Rozier was at heavy favorite, but it was Our Flash Drive and High Opinion who were second and third on Form to Win. So if you use them, you did well. And then going out to Churchill, I had some friends out there that just moved from Vegas, and I told them to key everything off in the verticals off Divine Charger, and that Mamzelle, she fit on Form to Win, so playing her with the favorite. They had a good evening, so it was a good weekend all around.
Great. Nice job. I didn't look at the Saturday night card. I knew I wasn't going to get to it. Tina and I hadn't mentioned Tina and I. We went to Vermont. I had a haircut at noon, and then we just started driving through the countryside. We ended up in Wilmington, Vermont. Then we ended up in Western Massachusetts. We were like all over the place, and I started watching, you know, drive home the rest of the way, watching the afternoon action in New York. But I knew I wasn't going to. I had to pack and get ready for this trip. So, well, how soon are we going to have a look at the Preakness and Black Eyed Susan?
Yeah, probably not early, Steve. Probably going to have to wait Thursday for Friday and Friday for Saturday. The team right now is working on some guides for the new version. We've opened it up to a couple of people that were already subscribing to it, so they're taking a look at it. I actually sent it to Paul Matisse. He wanted to play around with it too, so I'll get his eyes on it and get his feedback. But yeah, I looked at the early PPs for both cards, and not super as excited about the Preakness. I mean, it's going to be a great race, but I only see two likely winners, and they'll probably be the two likely favorites. So I'd be interested in maybe getting Simplification underneath somewhere, maybe 5-8 over the one, hoping that one of the two favorites runs third or something, but it's going to be, looks a bit chalky, but they'll still run the race. And then, and that Black Eyed Susan on Friday, that is a Dear Manor shifting in from California. And I know you like the horse that just beat her in the Oaks, who came back and ran very well. And I like the work pattern coming in. I mean, you see a big 7-furlong work and then a 5-furlong work on May 14th. So she's going to be tough, but there's a lot of speed in that race, Steve. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it. There was a lot of pace involved. The 2 wants to go. The 4 wants to go. The 9 wants to go. And the 12 wants to go along with the favorite. So if you're looking for somebody off of the pace, that distinctively possible for Chad Brown, you know, coming off just off the maiden win at Keeneland. But he's showing a lot of confidence by running off a maiden win here. Her number came back good. She's proven off Lasix, which is a bit of a headache looking at some of these races, Steve. I've got notes off Lasix, back on, off, back on. So I'm just going to have to deal with that. And then the price horse that I found interesting in the Black Eyed Susan was the 5, Begin, for Danny Tate. You know, bred to be something. Big improvement since she stretched out to 2 turns. She's running in 6-furlong races, the first 2 races, and then stretched out to a mile on the 16th. And numbers are improving. Her last race, she was off Lasix and ran just fine. So that'll be the horse that may be a price that I'll be interested in.
Begin would be, it would be just amazing if Danny Pites could win a race like this. It'd be great. Certainly root for him. I'm anxious to see the figures from all corners, and I'm also interested to see how Secret Oath matches up on form to win in the Preakness. That'll be a notable thing to track on Friday.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting, Steve. And I'm going to be tied up Friday morning, so I won't be able to be on the show. But I'll make sure I get the snapshots out and post them online.
All right, and you're hinting that if we're working on video tutorials, that means we're close.
Yeah, we're extremely close. We're actually rebuilding the entire website. I was working with the team yesterday, looking at those to get everything in there, and then we'll just be rolling it out for everybody. But if you are already a subscriber, you have access to the new version. I've sent it to a couple of people already. So if for some reason they're not able to log into the newer version, they can just either email me or DM me on Twitter, and I'll send them the link.
Papo Morales, everybody. Papo Core 1 on Twitter. Form to Win. And Tuesday, of course, Form to Win ATR, live from Pimlico. And I'm looking forward to those chartings when they come out. The Thursday for the Friday card and Saturday, or Friday for the Saturday card. And it's not unusual. Again, this year, it feels like the Friday card is a little bit more overall, a little bit more interesting than the Saturday, but I'll work on it, the wider handicapping today and tonight. Papo, I appreciate it, and I guess we won't talk, but we'll do some tweeting. All right.
Yes, yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
You got it, Papo Morales. Everybody, Form to Win. Visit the App Store. Download. We're getting close to this complete launch, and a bunch more bells and whistles added to the already terrific speed algorithm that it represents. Thanks to Papo. Thanks to Andy. Andrew Offerman, as we get kicking off at Canterbury tomorrow. Rich Migliori, Kenny McPeak, and Trevor McCarthy. It was a fun 3 hours. Hope you enjoyed. Archive and pod later, and replay here 6 to 9 on SiriusXM. Back with you for the Wednesday get together. Talk to you at 9. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details. Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. Free $25 Derby bet and $200 deposit match with promo Steve25. Visit NairaBets.com.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Horsepin. Nominate now for the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Elks. Both races will be run Friday, June 3rd, each at 1 mile on the grass at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Nominations close Wednesday, May 18th. Contact the Penn National Racing Office at 1-800-233-8238. That's 1-800-233-8238. Or go to HollywoodPNRC.com/racing.